Hi there, welcome to Talk Canicross. I'm Janetta George.
And I'm Gail Walker. We're here today to talk all things Canicross, the fun way to get fit with your dog.
So each month we'll be joined by a special guest or two. We'll hear from professionals, regular Canicrossers, and also dog and human experts in their field. It will be real people and real stories.
So we hope you'll join us, whether it's for training tips, dog talk, or just for fun and encouragement. This is Talk Canicross, brought to you by DogFit. And don't forget to hit subscribe and keep in touch with all things Canicross. So we've all been there. As we close one year and another fast approaches, we start to think about what we want to strive for in the new year. For many of us, we tend to reflect on our health and fitness goals, but how do we find the motivation to get started? And most importantly, how do we stick to a plan beyond the first month? Well, fear not, help is on hand. We're joined today by DogFit trainer and personal trainer, Kat Batson, who has plenty of advice to help you set your fitness goals in 2022 and stick to them. So a big warm welcome, Kat. It's lovely to have you here today.
Thanks for having me.
So lovely to have you on the show. And we're really looking forward to you helping advise us for setting those fitness goals for next year. But in your experience as a personal trainer, what would you say was the biggest obstacle that people face when it comes to setting a new exercise routine?
Yeah, I think that's the interesting bit, because with starting a new regime in the winter, you know, everybody starting in January and everybody sets these kind of outrageous goals of what they want to do. And I think if they just kind of rein those in a bit, make a realistic goal of what they want to do, and then creating a habit with that. So making a schedule and doing things like that to where they can sit there and go, right, I know I'm going to do this today. And don't give yourself a lot of time to think about it, because if you think too much, once you get going, you're going to find every excuse under the sun of what to do and what not to do, and why it's not a good time today, and the weather's poor, and oh, I don't want to go out in it. And so it's best to just, you know, find those little goals, get started little bits, and then build off of that.
So basically you're saying don't pick a big goal like I must run a marathon by next month and I've from nothing, but set small realistic targets basically.
Yeah, because people will set those really unrealistic. It's usually over Christmas, somebody's had a cocktail or eight, and then someone says, you know, I think I'm going to do a marathon. Oh my God, that sounds like a great idea. And then, you know, year starts and you're like, what was I thinking?
No, I think we've all been there and can certainly relate to it. So getting started, that's one thing, isn't it? So set yourself some realistic goals. And obviously, like you're saying, don't beat yourself up about it if you don't do it straight away. So let's assume someone has made that first step and they've actually started on whatever that fitness program is. What tends to be the main reason people fail after? Because I know for a fact, you know, I've seen people that come down my gym and you see all these new faces and you can't, you know, you have to a waiting list to get on any classes. Wait till the beginning of February, end of February, and suddenly it's sort of emptied out again. And that's quite common, isn't it? So why is it that people sort of get started and seem to last so long and then, you know, completely disappear from the face of the earth?
Yeah, well, that's the funny thing, because I have a personal training studio, so we're one-on-one. We don't get the business until February, because everybody starts off in January on their own. They've signed up for these amazing gym packages. And then they're like, I never went. Yeah. And then what it tends to be is they want that hand holding, they want that guidance, they want that support. So it's a lack of focus, direction, feeling daunted by the whole thing, not knowing what to do or where to go or how much to do, how little to do. And then it's January. Winter's here and it's gray and it's like, oh, I just want to go and hibernate. So it's a combination of a lot of things. It's a tough time of year to get people motivated to do stuff. But usually the one thing that helps is just, you know, having a plan and having someone they can go to, whether it's a personal trainer or it's a friend, you know, just making that commitment with a friend that's going to hold you accountable and go, well, you said we were going to go run for today, or you said we were going to do this. So just kind of having that little bit of direction.
Yeah, having someone that you're almost accountable with, whether that is a friend or a trainer, I know that's really helped me with goal setting this year, is you're working alongside someone. So, you know, we've touched on the reason why people sort of fail because they maybe overestimate what they're able to do, or it all becomes quite daunting. What are there any tips that you would give for helping keep somebody on track? Do you get people to write stuff down, for example, like in a diary or a planner?
Well, funny you should mention, I was just going to say, you know, Dogfit has the planner, which, again, it's a really good place to put your goals and the things that you want to do and set them up and put it in the diary, write it down, make an appointment like you would the dentist. You know, you hold and stick to that and just keep telling yourself, this is as much an important part of my day as it is, you know, going to the dentist, making that meeting that I said I was going to do. And yeah, by getting into the habit of putting it in the diary and committing to it, that creates the momentum that you can keep up with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know myself that if I've written it down that I'm going to do it, as much as I might say, oh, I'm really not feeling like it, in the back of my mind, I know I've got to do it. And the fact I've written it down, I do end up doing it. So yeah, that really does help writing it down.
I sometimes like put a tick against it because it's like, I've done it, you know, it's like a little well done. Yeah.
And again, having a friend, you know, having someone else that you're going to go out with or do it with that, you know, if you know it's going to be a tough morning and you're not really going to feel like you want to get out, make sure you do it with a friend. Go say, right, let's do this together.
Yeah, absolutely. And, well, this year I trained for the marathon with my sister alongside. And we used to WhatsApp each other. So every time I'd done my training run for that week, I'd send it to her. And if she hadn't done hers, that would really motivate her to make sure she did her run that week. So I know that really helped us keep accountable in the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, something else I do, I don't know if you think that's a good idea, Kat, but I often get my kit out the day before, the night before. So that, and I do that quite often, actually, because then I think if I've got to do a run the next day, especially if I'm getting up early and I've got speed work, I normally, you know, put it all out and it's just one less thing to think about. You know.
Yeah. And again, I will tell people, put your kit out the night before and put it on first thing, because if you get it on, then you've already committed, then you don't have time to look at the weather, you don't have time to just go, and then go outside regardless of the weather and just get it done. Because once you get that kit on, it makes such a difference, because you're like, well, okay, even, and then tell yourself, trick yourself. I don't care how you got to do it. Tell yourself, I'm only going to do a mile. And if I get in that mile and it's rubbish, well, then I'm done. But how many times do you say, oh, I'm only going to do a mile, and then you're like five into it. You're like, okay, fine, I'll stick.
Yeah. It's a really nice outlook, isn't it? Because you're not putting pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
Do you think people, is it, rewards a good thing as well? Rewarding yourself for an achievement.
Yeah, rewards, always reward. Don't, you know, and again, never beat yourself up for something. Always just go, you know what? It just wasn't my day. Mm-hmm. And then go home and go, right, I've done it, result. And, you know, treat yourself, you know, have a cup of cocoa, you know, have a cup of tea. So, you know, I've earned this.
Got a bar of chocolate.
What sort of personal trainer are you? So I want to get a cup of tea.
Moderation.
So what would you say in your capacity as a personal trainer, if you've got someone that's training with you and you've got them on a kind of fitness regime, and some of it maybe they're doing themselves, but what advice do you give them if they miss a session?
Yeah, that's one that is a real slippery slope, and I make sure that they don't beat themselves up over it. So, okay, I missed a session, crack on with the next one. You know, if that's pretty much how it goes, and you don't have a problem again, great, no problem. Or if you find you're kind of getting into a muddle and you're finding you're missing quite a few sessions, then reset, start over. It's nothing, it's no big drama if you're not sticking to your plan, unless you've got an end goal, which is, you know, I'm going to run a marathon or a half marathon and you need that mileage. Then I'll tell people, okay, if it's mileage that you need, maybe do, you know, on a light day, do two little runs. So do one in the morning, do one in the afternoon. You can get it done. And I do that to prevent injury. Mm-hmm. But I don't want people to get themselves into a kind of a downward negative spiral where they're going, oh, I've missed it. Oh my God, the world is over. It's like, actually, you just missed a session. Yeah, you'll be fine. I always just tell people, don't beat yourself up. It's not a thing.
No, it's really good advice. And I think that's part of the challenge. Going back to my point about why people don't stick with something, because they beat themselves up about not achieving. And then they just see it as like a negative of just rather than just reset and refocus. And every time you go out for a run or whatever it is you're doing or going down the gym, it's still a positive thing because you're working towards that goal. But I think your original point at the start of this conversation is the most important, to set realistic goals that are achievable and that you can feel good about yourself for, because that's why we're doing it. You don't want to make it another chore, do we?
Well, exactly. It's supposed to be, you know, fun. You're supposed to have a good time while you're doing it. And, you know, granted, you know, some workouts are harder than others. But ultimately, at the end of it, you're like, oh, I'm on a high because I did what I said I was going to do, and I feel great now. So you should always come away feeling positive about what you've done, regardless of how big or little it is, because everybody's got their own challenges.
Yeah, and just going on to being positive and having fun, that segues nicely into your capacity as a dog fit trainer, and obviously you run Canicross classes. So what would you say were the main advantages of getting into Canicross as a way of keeping fit as opposed to maybe versus going down the gym? So if you were looking at that as an option.
So the beautiful thing about Canicross is you can go out, one, anytime, take your dog, and you're going to relieve stress for both you and the dog. It's a great stress reliever for the kind of first point. From moving on from that, you build an excellent bond with your dog. You know, you're not gonna get that going to the gym, leaving the dog at home. So, you know, the number of places I take my dog, my dogs come with me almost everywhere. And you would think that would create the amazing bond. But what's actually created the bond is taking the dogs out on a run with me, because they're so focused on listening to you on the commands and, you know, we're going right, we're going left, you know, this or that, leave that, you know, we're staying focused, we got a job to do. And you do build up a greater rapport bond with your dog because you are working together and you're taking your cues from your dog just as much as they're taking their cues from you.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And just introduce your dogs to everybody. Because
Heidi and Jens, they're standard poodles.
Yeah.
They're a handful.
what sort of distances are you doing with them, Kat?
So, well, Jens is 12 and Heidi's 11. So Heidi does the short runs, the short little introductory runs. So she'll do the kind of 1.5 to 3 mile runs. And Jens, the older dog, will do, you know, 6 miles with me quite happily.
Very impressive. They're obviously super fit because they've got personal trainer for a mum.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with we've done Canine cross country with them since from the get-go. And every time we take them into the vets, they're just amazed and love their musculature and just how fit and toned they are. So it has a lot to do with getting out and running with my dogs. I don't make them go to the gym, although Heidi does love the treadmill.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, poodles are quite high energy as well, aren't they? Everyone thinks they're cutesy, curly, lovely, fluffy dogs, but they are quite high energy.
Well, and that's the other benefit from a Canine cross country pack run is because they're working with other dogs and the other dogs are picking up cues from each other. So they're not only getting cues from you, but they're listening to the dogs and learning what's going on. So, you know, if there's a deer, if there's something that you come across, and they're all going to communicate what's happening, and, you know, and then of course the humans have to communicate, you know, pick your feet up, you're going to go fast now. But it is such a motivational thing for people to just keep coming along to the runs because the dogs have such a good time and they have such a good time with the dogs seeing them have such a good time.
Yeah, and you've got to walk your dog anyway, so you might as well run the dog
yourself
and keep fit together. I mean, we talked at the beginning about, you know, having someone that's keeping you accountable, whether that's a friend or a trainer. You know, my biggest friend that keeps me accountable is Coco, you know, my dog. She needs to go for a walk, and ideally she loves to go for a run with me, so she's definitely my accountability.
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's the nice thing is, again, if it's a rainy, horrible day, you're still going to go out. Might as well run it.
I also think one of the pluses for me with Canny Cross versus just trying to go out for a run, as well as, you know, my motivation is my dog, it's also the social side of it, isn't it? You know, you go, for some people, you want that interaction, but going to the gym or going to a class, you've got to force yourself to go along. But one of the, you know, the beauties of Canny Cross is you meet so many like-minded people. So you're actually getting fit and you're mixing with people at the same time and having a good time.
Yeah, I often liken it to, it's like, it can be like a support group. Yes.
Yeah.
Because we, in our pack, we do have a lot of, I hate the word, but reactive dogs, and it's, you know, because every dog's reactive to something. But we do have a lot of rescues. We've got a lot of dogs that were, you know, puppies during lockdown, and so their socialization skills weren't that great. So we have a lot of people that it is stressful when you're taking your dog for a walk on your own and your dog is going to react when they see another dog coming at them. What the pack does for them is it gives them protection. It gives them, you know, because we put our friendlier dogs at the front and our dogs that need more protection within the pack. So then if there's a dog off lead, the people up front will say, will you please put your dog on a lead because we've got more reactive dogs in the back. So it gives them space to where they feel like, oh, they've got my back. You know, this is gonna be something that I feel comfortable and I can put all my worries aside when I'm running with the pack because I've got other people, you know, that have my back, which is quite a nice thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, tell us a little bit more about where you're based, Kat, and the classes that you're offered. Also, I'm sure there'll be some beginners that are listening to this, what they might expect if they were gonna come along to a beginner class with you.
So I run the classes from our little gym in Fawley, which is between Marlow and Henley. It's for all dogs, all sizes, all types. Same with humans, all types, all sizes. Although we're based in Fawley, again, between Marlow and Henley, we do tend to pick a different location. So we're all within kind of a 30-minute radius. So I like to keep the runs interesting so that the dogs don't get bored. And more importantly, I don't get bored. I only do taster sessions because living in the countryside, most people run a little bit. In the taster sessions, it's basically fitting them with harnesses, or if they've already got harnesses, making sure that they're fitting well and getting all of that together. And then I take them on a run with just me and my dog to see, one, how everything fits, but to see how their dogs react with the whole concept of running with another dog. And if that's something that appeals to them, then I always say, right, well, you can join our pack because we're more about the dog than we are about the human. So if the human is worried that they're going to be at the back of the pack, and it's like, we're all there for each other. So you may be at the back of the pack, but then we regroup and then we take off and then we regroup and then we take off. So I call our runs more fartlek sessions than anything. So if you've got a fast dog, you're going to run fast. If you've got a slow dog, you're going to run slowly. But if you're, you know, if you've got a fast dog and you're a slow runner, it gives them a chance to get pulled, but also to improve their running ability. So for that aspect of it, they're always going to pick up something. So even our fast runners benefit from it. And again, it's all about making sure the dogs feel happy and safe in the group, in the pack. And they do. I mean, we've had some dogs that were terrified of the dogs in the beginning, and now they're quite happily running in the pack, which is nice to see.
Yeah, it's amazing the transformation that you can get with anxious dogs that then start to feel comfortable. So
exactly. So, you know, that it's that sort of thing that, you know, just get going. And then once they join the pack, it's what we run every Sunday. And we run every other Wednesday night. So I always make sure they've got head torches at the ready.
I mean, I must admit, that's good fun as well. When the dogs run at night, I always find mine pull even harder because I suppose their senses are heightened. But it's great fun. If you have a good head torch, you're running in a pack. But obviously, if someone's a beginner, wouldn't advise that straight away, would we? But it's great fun once you feel confident on your feet.
Yes, yeah, so I always say for the night runs, best to get a few pack runs under your belt. And then, you know, again, and we always keep the night run, I always keep to the same trail because then you get to know where to pick your feet up, because even though it's the same trail at night, everything's different. In the winter, particularly when it's dark, they pick up scents from all sorts of prey in the area. So they are super wired. But again, it's all about just, you know, getting your feet up and getting used to running at night and how dogs react. Because some dogs are like, this is spooky. And then some dogs are just like, yeah, let's go get it.
So something I always like to ask people on our podcast is, if somebody's thinking of getting into Canicross for the first time, and especially this time of year, as we said earlier, it's really hard work, isn't it, just to get motivated full stop in the winter. But what would you say to someone who's thinking about trying Canicross as, you know, as a, something to sort of help them with their fitness goals this year?
Do it. It's so, once you start doing it, you just want to keep doing it. It is a great motivator. It is, when the weather is horrible, if your dog looks at you and just is kind of like, I'd like to go, you know, it's so much better to put on your kit. And you know, you're going to get muddy if you take your dog out for a walk. So you might as well get really muddy and go for a run and have a great time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that obviously there will be a lot of people that, you know, at the beginning of the year now that are keen to try something new. We know we've got lots of lockdown puppies that are obviously now a year old and ready to go out there. And yeah, it's obviously a feel good sport as well, because you've walked your dog or you've run your dog at the same time as exercising yourself.
Yeah, definitely. And it's and particularly in the wintertime, you do get quite a buzz off of knowing that you've gotten out in whatever weather.
And I guess as well, if you get through the winter, you've got the spring to look forward to and feeling in shape for the summer. So that's a good goal in itself, isn't it?
Well, definitely. And it just makes it that much easier. Once the sun's out and the weather's a little bit better, you're looking for excuses to get out. And so then you can really ramp up your training for whatever it is that, you know, that you want to achieve. You can start to, you know, you start with these little steps in the winter and then build up so that by the time the weather is much improved, you feel much more motivated to get out and get into it.
So Kat, just to finish, could you tell us a little bit about some of the customers that come to you for your classes?
Yeah, I mean, they come for all different reasons, which is great because, you know, it's just like a snowflake, no two are alike. But yeah, I mean, we get some of the people will come in because of, again, they might have a reactive dog. So they feel a bit isolated because they don't feel like they can take their dog out all the time. And again, that isolation, particularly, you know, in the winter, particularly post COVID lockdown events, it does make you feel really alone and lonely. And so you do get these people that are a bit depressed about the whole thing. And so we have had people that have joined the pack. Again, the phone conversation first, because they're so worried about, you know, their dog being reactive and they, you know, they don't want them to attack any of the dogs. And I'm like, not a worry, bring the dog. We can work through this. We've got plenty that we've gotten through this whole thing. And once that first, you know, run happens and they're like, oh, that actually went really well. And you just see the elation in their face and it's like a whole load has just been taken off their shoulders. So that's probably one of my favorite ones. And people think that, you know, they're alone in this situation. And then they find a whole new pack of people that have reactive dogs as well. And they're like, oh, let me, you know, this is how we deal with this. And this is, you know, and it's just nice for them to feel that kind of camaraderie and to see them lifted by that whole experience. But we also have people that come in, you know, want to lose a bit of weight. They just need to do a bit more competitive, you know, running and just to have that dog pull them along and to not feel like, this is hard work, you know, my dog is dragging me. But when you're in a pack, there is always a place for you, whether you're at the front, in the middle, at the back, somebody's always going to be at the back. And some days, you know, even Jens, my dog will feel like it's not my day. I'm going to hang out at the back. And so he will lead the group from the back. And again, it just keeps people wanting to get out. And even so that nobody feels like, oh, I'm holding up the pack. I'm holding up the pack. So no, it's fine. Because at some point, someone's going to be recovering from an injury. Somebody's going to be, you know, their dog is not going to feel great on that day. So again, it's just a nice support group for people to get out and experience these things and to realize whatever negativity you may think, you know, might be holding you back. Once you actually join a pack, you'll find out that actually everybody else has had that thought at one point or another, and it actually works out really well. So, you know, whether it be reactive dogs, whether it be weight loss, whether it be I'm not fit enough, there's all these reasons of why, you know, it would hold you back, but at the same time they're the perfect reasons why you should join the group and get out and just have fun. Stop being so hard on yourself.
That's really good advice and really heartwarming to hear about some of your customers. I think that obviously the message as well is that there really is a place for everyone in Canny Cross and just go for it. You know, I don't know anyone that's tried it that doesn't like it. But thank you for coming on the show today. It's been fabulous catching up with you. And here's to 2022.
Woohoo!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Talk Canny Cross. We really hope that you've enjoyed it. But don't forget to hit subscribe so we can keep you up to date and let you know when the next episode comes out. Happy Canny Crossing.